From the point of view of the criminal expert, London has become a singularly uninteresting city lately, Watson.
Well, I can hardly think many decent citizens agree with you, Holmes.
Ah, well, I mustn't be selfish, I suppose. The community is certainly the gainer. The only loser is the poor out-of-work specialist whose occupation is gone. Until a short while ago, one's morning paper presented infinite possibilities. Often it was only the smallest trace, the faintest indication. To the scientific students of the higher criminal world, no capital in Europe offered London's advantages. Now, you see, the newspaper lies unopened on my knee. Nothing tempts me to open it.
Mr. Sherlock Holmes!
Oh, devil!
Please see me. Mr. Holmes, I am the unhappy John Hector Macfarlane.
Indeed. Pray, shut the door, Watson.
Oh, very well.
My friend the doctor here would no doubt prescribe a sedative for your symptoms. So, here it is.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Macfarlane, you mentioned your name as if I shouldn't recognize it, but I assure you that beyond the obvious fact that you are a bachelor, a solicitor, a Freemason, and an asthmatic, I know nothing about you.
But if you know all those things...
Oh, purely from observation. The, may I say, untidiness of the bachelor apparel, the sheaf of legal documents protruding from the jacket pocket, the Masonic watch charm... And the asthmatic of breathing. Quite straightforward, eh, Watson?
Oh, quite, quite. Well, I'm all that. And in addition, I'm the most unfortunate man in London. I appeal to you, Mr. Holmes. If they come to arrest me before I finish telling you my story, please make them give me time to tell you the whole truth.
Arrest you? On what charge?
The murder of Mr. Jonas Oldacre.
Murder?
Mr. Macfarlane, it was only a moment ago that I was remarking to my friend that sensational cases had quite disappeared out of our newspapers.
Is that so? Then you haven't looked very closely at that one you have there. See? On the very front page.
Indeed. Watson, if you would be so good.
Oh, certainly, Holmes. Mysterious affair at Lower Norwood. Suspicion of murder and arson. At about 12 o'clock last night, an alarm was given that a stack of timber was on fire at the yard of Mr. Jonas Oldacre, a well-known builder. It was impossible to arrest the conflagration until the stack had been entirely consumed. Surprise was expressed at the absence of the owner of the establishment, and investigations revealed that a murderous struggle had apparently taken place in his room. An oaken walking stick bore bloodstains on its handle, and a safe had been opened and papers scattered. It is known that Mr. Oldacre received a visitor yesterday evening, a young London solicitor named John Hector Macfarlane, who is now being sought by the police for his help in their inquiries.
See? Now read out the stop press, there below.
Yes. There have been further and sinister developments in the investigation at Norwood. Now, in the experienced hands of Inspector Lestrade of Scotland Yard. Marks indicate that some bulky object had been dragged from the house to the burning woodpile, in the ashes of which charred remains have been traced. The police theory is that the victim was clubbed to death in his room, his papers rifled, and his dead body dragged across to the woodpile, which was then ignited so as to hide all traces of the crime. Great heavens!
The case has certainly some point of interest. May I ask, Mr. Macfarlane, how it is that you're still at liberty at all?
Well, I live with my mother at Blackheath, but last night... Having had to do business with Mr. Oldacre late in the evening, I stayed in a hotel at Norwood. I knew nothing of this horrible affair until I read that newspaper account in the train to the city. I hurried at once to put the case in your hands. As a matter of fact, I swear a man followed me out of London Bridge Station.
Come in. Inspector Lestrade.
No.
Dr. Watson, by your leave, Mr. Holmes. John Hector Macfarlane. I arrest you for the willful murder of Mr. Jonas Oldacre.
No!
Anything you say will be taken down and may be put in evidence.
Lestrade, this gentleman was on the point of giving us an account of the affair, which might aid us in clearing it up.
We'll have no difficulty doing that, Mr. Holmes.
Half an hour, more or less, can make no difference to you.
Well, we owe you a good turn or two, Mr. Holmes. You've been of help to Scotland Yard once or twice.
Thank you, Lestrade.
Get on with your story then, McCartan.
Thank you, Inspector. I must explain first that I knew nothing of Jonas Oldacre, except that my parents had been acquainted with him many years ago. So I was very much surprised to get a request to go out to his home yesterday evening and advise him on a legal matter. I got to his house soon after 9, and his housekeeper showed me into his room.
Ah, my dear young sir. Do come in.
Thank you, sir.
Very good of you to come all this way, Mr. McFarlane. I knew your parents many years ago, do you know?
I have heard your name, sir, I'm sure.
No doubt. Well, now, to come straight to the point, I asked you here this evening to attend to my will.
I see. But then have you no solicitor of your own, sir?
Neither here nor there. If you'll read the will for yourself, you'll discover why I sent for it.
Very well.
It's short and to the point, you see.
Hey, Mr. Oldacre, this will leave your entire estate to me.
Precisely. I'm a bachelor. There's hardly a living relation in the world. Well, I knew your parents in my youth. As to yourself, I've always heard it said that you're diligent and thoroughly deserving. Therefore, I choose to make you my heir.
I don't know what to say.
A simple word of thanks will do.
Oh, of course. In my surprise, Mr. Oldacre, I do express my deepest gratitude to you.
Oh, quite enough. Now, simply assure me as a lawyer that the will is in proper form. I shall sign it, my housekeeper shall witness, and then we'll have supper.
With the greatest of pleasure, sir.
After supper, there are a number of papers, title deeds, mortgages, scrip and so on, which I should like you to examine. You'll inherit them all someday, and a few words of clarification now will save you endless searching when that time comes.
May that time be long delayed, sir.
I share your wish, Mr. McFarlane, but who can tell? And now let some of my housekeeper proceed to the front.
Oh, you're tired, sir. I must be getting along.
Well, I think everything's taken into account. I'll put all these papers back in the safe when you've gone. Goodness me, it's nearly 12.
It's been a pleasure, sir.
Oh, have you mislaid something?
My stick. I'm sure I had it with me.
You did? Well, I don't recall. Ah, well, my boy, I shall see a good deal of you now, I hope. If your stick turns up, I'll keep it here until you can come back to claim it.
It'll be a great pleasure, sir. Once again, Mr. Oldacre, my warmest thanks and, well, good night. I left him there, the safe open, the papers in packets on the table. As I told you, I spent the night at the hotel in Norwood and knew nothing more until I read of this horrible affair in the morning paper.
All right, then. Now, Mr. Holmes, anything you'd like to ask?
Not until I've been to Blackheath.
Blackheath? You mean Norwood, don't you?
Oh, yes. No doubt that is what I must have meant.
Constable!
Sir?
Take him away. I'll follow later.
Mr. Holmes!
I shall do everything I can, Mr. McFarlane.
Thank you, sir. I put my trust in you.
Come out this way.
So, Mr. Holmes?
The case is not clear to me, Lestrade. What about you, Watson?
Well, it looks pretty clear-cut to me, I'm afraid.
Exactly. Here's a young man who learns suddenly that if an older man dies, he'll succeed to a fortune. He's alone with the old man, so there's the best chance you'll ever get. Murders him, burns his body in the woodpile, and then goes to a hotel nearby for the night. If that isn't clear, what is?
Just what I'm thinking.
Yet it strikes me as being just a trifle too obvious. You don't add imagination to your other great qualities, my good Lestrade, but if you could for one moment put yourself in this young man's place, would you choose the very night the will had been signed to commit your crime? Would you choose an occasion when you're known by a servant to be in the house? And would you really take the greatest pains to conceal the body and yet leave your own stick lying about as a sign that you were the criminal?
He was very likely afraid to go back to the room to look for it.
All right, Mr. Holmes. Give me another theory that would fit the facts.
I don't deny that the evidence favors your theory quite strongly, Lestrade. I only wish to point out that there are other theories possible.
Well, I must be going. Look in at Norwood if you're passing and see how we're getting on.
I must say, Holmes, he's got a strong case against that young fellow.
The future will decide, Watson.
Well, what are we going to do?
As I said before, our first move must be in the direction of Blackheath.
Not Norwood, then.
Ah, no, Watson.
We have in this case one singular incident coming close to the heels of another singular incident. The police are making the mistake of concentrating on the second of these, because it happens to be the one which is actually criminal. But it's evident to me that the logical way to approach the case is to try to throw some light on the first incident.
You mean the making of that curious will?
So suddenly, and to so unexpected an heir, precisely. I think it may do something to simplify what followed.
Yes, but What are we going to do at Blackheath?
Pay a visit upon our unfortunate young client's mother.
Huh?
Come, Watson, get your coat, like a good fellow.
Of course my son is not guilty, Mr. Holmes. I won't admit even the possibility of it. As to Jonas Oldacre's fate, it neither surprises nor distresses me.
Please calm yourself, Mrs. McFarlane.
He was more like a malignant and cunning ape than a human being. Always, even as a young man.
Madam, please realize that to be heard speaking in such terms would only convince the police more deeply of your son's guilt.
I can't help it, Mr. Holmes. I hated that man. I regard his death as a blessing.
You knew him from his youth.
I knew him well. He was after me to marry him. Thank heaven I had the sense to refuse.
For any particular reason?
His cruelty. I had said something of it for myself. And then one day I heard how he had turned a cat loose in an aviary, simply to gloat over the destruction it would cause.
Appalling!
I returned his ring at once.
What was his answer to that?
It was this. What do you think of that, gentlemen?
It's your photograph. Torn and mutilated with some sharp instrument.
He sent it to me with his curse on the morning of my wedding to Mr. McFarlane.
The villain!
I see. Had your son any knowledge of this?
No. Why?
Because the police would mark it down as providing an additional motive for him to have murdered this man. Revenge for his past cruelty to you.
And yet, Oldacre has left all his property to your son.
Neither my son nor I want anything from Jonas Oldacre, dead or alive. I repeat, gentlemen, my son did not kill Jonas Oldacre.
It's all wrong, Watson. I know it's all wrong.
But what do you deduce?
I examined Oldacre's bank book, amongst the other papers. His balance struck me as rather small for a man of such means. So I looked back through the entries during the last year. I found that a number of large checks had been made out to a Mr. Cornelius.
Hmm?
Yet this name does not appear in connection with any of the stocks and shares, or other papers.
Won't Oldacre's bank help?
I very much hope so. It is the only line of inquiry left open to us. But I fear, my dear fellow, that our case will end ingloriously, just to say, with Lestrade hanging our client.
Speak of the devil.
Mr. Holmes. Come in, Inspector. Well, Mr. Holmes, have you found your theory?
I have formed no conclusion whatever, Lestrade.
No, but we formed ours yesterday, and now we have proved correct. You don't like being beaten any more than the rest of us do, does he, Dr. Watson?
You certainly have the air of something unusual having occurred, Inspector.
I've a cab outside. You care to come with me to Norwood, gentlemen? I think I can convince you once for all.
Very well, Lestrade. I only hope you may be wrong.
Now then, this is the late Oldacre's Hall. And this is the hat rack where young McFarlane must have come to get his hat after the crime was done.
Most likely.
Now, look at this.
A fingerprint. In blood.
Oh, actually a thumbprint, Doctor.
Oh.
Look at it through your lens, Mr. Holmes.
Yes, yes, I am doing.
I'll just hold this next to it. The wax impression of McFarlane's thumb. Taken this morning at my office.
Hmm. It's the same.
Dear me, Lestrade, it is a lesson in how deceptive appearances may be. And such a nice young man, it seemed.
Some of us are a little too much inclined to be cocksure, aren't we, Mr. Holmes?
Really?
But what a providential thing that this young man should press his right thumb against the wall in taking his hat from the peg. It's a very natural action, too. By the way, Lestrade, who made this remarkable discovery?
The housekeeper.
But why didn't the police see this mark earlier?
Well, we'd no particular reason to examine the hall carefully.
I suppose there is no doubt that it was there earlier.
Eh? Now, you're not going to suggest that McFarlane slipped specially out of jail in order to make a print that would strengthen the evidence against himself? I'll be about the place if you want.
Oh, dear. It's all up for young McFarlane, then, Holmes.
On the contrary, Watson.
Eh?
You see, there is one really serious flaw in this new discovery.
What is it?
I examined this hall thoroughly myself, and I know that thumbprint was not there.
What?
Now, come along. I wish to inspect this whole house, inside and out. And then we will trouble Lestrade to grant us one final stop.
Anything you like, Mr. Holmes. You'll acknowledge we've been a little out in front of you this time. So anything that will help you understand our methods, we'll willingly arrange.
Thank you, Lestrade. As it happens, though, I can't help thinking that your evidence is incomplete.
Oh, no. You're not going to start all over the ground again.
By no means. Only there is an important witness you have not yet seen.
Who? Can you produce him?
I think I can. How many constables have you?
Two, within call.
Both large, able-bodied men with powerful voices.
What have their voices to do with it, Holmes?
Perhaps I can help you to see that. And one or two other things as well. Kindly summon them here, Lestrade, together with a considerable quantity of straw.
Straw?
There's plenty in the outhouses. Oh, and a couple of buckets of water.
Now, look here, Mr. Holmes. If you know something, you can surely say it without all this tomfoolery.
I assure you, my good Lestrade, that I have an excellent reason for everything I do. You may remember chaffing me a little when the sun seemed to be on your side of the hedge. Well, you must not judge me a little pomp and ceremony now. Be so kind as to carry out my request. And ask the constables to bring the things to the top landing of the house as soon as possible. Just pile the straw together here, my good men.
Right you are, sir.
Now, we have the buckets in readiness.
Over here, sir.
Capital. Will one of you open that window, please?
Yes, sir.
Watson?
Yes, sir.
Have you a box of matches about you?
Yes, of course. There's somebody here. Here you are.
Then kindly put a match to the edge of that straw.
Holmes, I...
Watson.
Oh, very well, Holmes.
Now, as the draught from the window carries the smoke down the corridor, might I ask you all to join in the cry of fire? Now, one, two, three.
Fire!
I'll trouble you once again. One, two, three.
Fire!
Just once more, gentlemen, and all together. One, two, three.
Ah!
Save me for the love of heaven.
There he goes. Hold him, someone. Watson, yes? A bucket of water over that straw, to please.
Right, Holmes.
Thank you. Lestrade, allow me to present you with your missing witness, Mr. Jonas Oldacre.
What? Oldacre?
I've done no harm. You've got nothing against me.
No harm? You have done your best to get an innocent man hanged.
It was only my practical joke.
How? A joke, was it? You won't find the laugh on your side, I promise you.
Constable!
Sir!
Take him down to the sitting room and keep him there until I come.
Yes, sir. Here,
now,
come
watch
on.
Him closely, all of you.
Come on and don't try nothing.
Mr. Holmes.
Yes, that's fair.
Two times I couldn't say anything before my constables, you understand, but... I don't mind admitting this is the brightest thing you've ever done. You saved an innocent man's life. And you prevented a scandal that might have ruined my reputation in the books.
Well, cheer up, Lestrade. Instead of being ruined, you'll find your reputation enhanced enormously. Just make a few alterations in your report, and they'll understand how hard it is to throw dust in the eyes of Inspector Lestrade.
You don't want your name to appear?
Not at all. The work is its own reward. Perhaps I shall get the credit also at some distant day when my zealous historian here lays out the facts. Hey, Watson?
Too true, Holmes.
Well, now, let's see where that rat has been lurking.
Yes. That door he suddenly came out of. I'd never noticed it.
Because it was so well to you.
He's a builder in a pub.
Here. This little lath and plaster compartment.
Gilbert. A chair. A lamp. Wood. And books.
He was able to fix up his own little hiding place without any confederate, save that precious housekeeper of his, of course. I should lose no time in adding her to your bag, by the way, Lestrade.
Don't worry. She won't get far.
But Holmes, how on earth did you know he was in the house at all?
The thumb mark. I knew it had not been there earlier. Therefore, it had been made since.
But how? I mean, McFarlane was under lock and key.
Very simply. When they were sealing those documents up after going through them together, Oldacre got McFarlane to secure one of the seals by pressing his thumb into the hot wax. Perhaps it wasn't even contrived deliberately at all, but later it suddenly struck him what absolutely damning evidence he could make against McFarlane by using it. It was the simplest thing in the world to get his housekeeper to fetch him a seal and some wax, from which he made an impression.
Then all he had to do was moisten it with as much blood as he could get from a pinprick in his own finger, and get her to impress the mark on the wall when nobody was about.
It's wonderful.
It's remarkable.
Clear as crystal, when you put it like that. But what's it all about, all of this?
You know that Old Acre was once refused by Macfarlane's mother?
I didn't know that.
Oh, dear me. I told you to go to Blackheath first and Norwood afterwards. All his life he's longed for vengeance. And now he suddenly finds himself in a bad way financially. Rash speculation, I imagine. To save himself, Old Acre pays large checks to a Mr. Cornelius, who I've no doubt is himself. He intends to disappear under that name, thus escaping his creditors once and for all.
And contrived his death to put them off his scent.
Not only that. He could take an ample and crushing revenge on his former sweetheart by making it appear that his murder had been committed by her only child.
Monstrous!
He cast a net round young Macfarlane from which, until a short while ago, it seemed impossible that there could be any escape.
But he didn't know when to stop.
That supreme gift of the artist was lacking. He wished to improve what was already perfect, to draw the rope tighter yet round his victim's neck. And in so doing, he ruined all.
Diabolical. Mr. Holmes, I congratulate you.
And so do I, Holmes.
Oh, dear. What have I omitted now, Watson?
Well, I can understand how he managed to hide Macfarlane's stick that night, so it would be found later, and how he contrived to get a few bloodstains about the place.
What then?
But what about the charred remains they found? I mean to say...
I'll tell you what, my dear Watson. If ever you should write an account of this case and find it necessary to account both for the blood and for the charred remains, I suggest you make a brace of rabbits and some trouser buttons serve your turn.